it was all a pipe dream, watching bodyboarding up on TV. Deep at reef, watching tension repeats, eating bakery feeds at 18, living the dream with no sunscreen. Yeah, we were so keen, surfing Aussie pipe, buying Riptide, eating shit.
All right, g'day and welcome to the Riptide Bodyboarding Podcast, the home of bodyboarding. Thank you for joining us on episode 86 of our verbal journaling, and I'm your host, Luke O'Connor. Well, today, ladies and gents, we have a 2-times Australian title holder on the line. He's recently come back with the first place, the gold, so may I say, sorry, over in the Maldives Pro in the juniors division, an absolute ripper from the Sunshine Coast, sponsored by NMD Board Co., and a dude who loves his four-wheel drives and seems like a real knockabout Australian bloke who I can't wait to get further in the conversation with. I'd like to welcome Jai Taylor onto the potty. Jai, mate, thanks for coming on.
Cheers, Luke. Thanks for having me.
Bras, no dramas at all, man. And let's get straight down to the nitty-gritty because everyone at home was fizzing. I'm talking properly fizzing at your result over in the Maldives, especially because Australia has been quite lean on the program when it comes to competitors over there, both in the men's, women, and the juniors division. So it was great to see the Australian boxing kangaroo just flown high in the air there, the flag at full mast, mate, over there in the Pacific. And what was it like, you know, throughout that comp, winning that final, and the buzz you got from, you know, holding that trophy up?
It was pretty crazy, actually. Like, the whole time over there, it was like a bit of an experience, you know, like it's so like strange. Like they like everyone's like they're all like the Maldives people are real nice and everything, but they have like hardly any food there. I actually got like real sick on like the first couple of days I was there and I thought I was like toast for the comp. But then I managed to just like scrape through in my three heats and like, you know, get the second place and then make the repechage round. But I thought I was going to be toast for, but I ended up, you know, doing pretty good, making my rounds and then getting the final and then winning. But it was easy, the best feeling I've ever had. Like, it was so sick.
Dude, you can tell by the promo clips after, or just, you know, the highlights from the event from the IBC Insta page and obviously your Insta too, just about how frothing you were. You know, you can tell that, you were claiming as one of your, you know, you couldn't be happier as one of your best moments in your life. And rightly so, man. Like, it's a really big thing to win on the world stage and to, you know, take out some really fierce and savvy, European and South American competitors, you know, in a mix with a lot of other countries in there too, but predominantly the Europeans and South Americans are really competitive, super pushy in the water, know what they want. And a lot of those juniors that I see in the draw have been competing in those in that division for a long period of time. So huge pat on the back to you, man, and just bringing something different to the table with those inverts. But before we go any further and talk about the final and how things unfolded there, just let's go back to that first point that you raised. What do you mean there was no food on the island and how did you get sick from it?
Like, I basically was like living off my food in my hotel, like the breakfast in the morning and stuff. Like, there's not really anywhere to go eat food. Like, there's a Burger King and stuff on KFC on the island, but it's all like the food is like, it's so bad. Like, it's not good at all. But, like, the hotel food's good and everything, but it's, you know, there's nowhere to, like, go out and eat. So, like, I was literally in the morning, like, the morning when I had my breakfast and stuff, there was, like, a bowl of bananas, and I'd just stock up on bananas and then take them down to the comp, and I'd literally just be eating bananas all day and, you know, drinking water and stuff. But, yeah, there's not really, like, anywhere you can go, like, get, like, a good feed or anything.
Far out. That's psycho to think that a tropical island wouldn't have, and again, I haven't been to the Maldives, so I'm speaking without any experience here, but, you know, anywhere you go, there's usually a stretch of, you know, epic shops or eateries or, you know, like a nice cafe or, you know, anything else than fast food and then just your hotel food. That's bizarre, man. And that would have made it so difficult to get just the carbohydrates, the energies, like the minerals and vitamins you needed to kind of make your way through all those heats. Because, you know, from my understanding, the water's pretty hot over there, the humidity's through the roof. If you're not getting, you know, your normal dietary supplements in, how are you supposed to perform at the top level?
Like, it was pretty hard. Like, you know, the water's so hot, so like you get real puffed real quick. Like, it's, yeah, I don't know, it's an interesting place. You know, it's definitely an interesting place.
So, like, obviously, you've been really kind and politically correct, so to speak, there, Jai. You know, I mean, if you were to go back there, not for a comp, would you be going back with eagerness, or would someone have to twist your arm there? Because it sounds like it's a, you know, there's some cool waves on the island, I've heard, but is it somewhere that you'd go holiday with the family or visit with friends?
I'd go like to the Maldives, like off the, you know, to some of the islands or anything, but I probably would not go on a holiday to like Mali, like on the main island. It's just like the only real reason you go there is just for the comp.
Yeah, and wow.
There's also one that, like, where the comp is held, that's the only wave on the whole island. Like, that's it. That's the one wave.
That's the only wave on the whole island, and they still put a bridge in front of it.
Yep. Only wave.
Fuck. Look, I know, you know, waves aren't on the forefront of everyone's mind in that civilization or in the world. So, you know, some of the greatest waves have gone down to infrastructure and overdevelopment over time, especially, you know, huge break walls or harbors or, you know, concrete structures of that kind. But when I see that bridge in the background, and again, like transport and infrastructure, I get it, linking up certain areas and you know, it would have been done with the best intentions possible from the government over there to make sure that, you know, things are running smoothly and they're progressing towards a first world country if that is their goal. But I just think to myself, when I see that bridge, I'm like, it's just ruined what looked like a really fun, punchy wave. And again, without speaking from experience being there, this is all just from what I've watched and heard of people and kind of dissected a lot of heats. It's like, you can see how the reef was there and now it's just because those swell lines come in so broken up, it just doesn't seem to be able to run completely down the whole reef. Is that how you viewed it? Because like a lot of the times I'd see competitors letting certain waves go and knowing they're not going to run down that whole part of the reef. And a lot of the waves that I noticed kind of, you know, fizzed out towards the end and didn't give you that bowl. So like, is it really hard reading that wave?
It is real hard. It's not like a reef at all. It's like a beachy, I would say. It's like, and the backwash, like it's so bumpy and everything. I can see how it would have been a really good wave, but I reckon that bridge definitely like messed it up, like for sure. It's it's still good though. Like you can have a sick surf out there, but yeah, I don't know. The bridge definitely like messed the wave up for sure.
Well, you definitely added a cracker surf out there, man. Like some of the innies that you were throwing in that final were just such a point of difference for the whole comp and really stamped a bit of Australian flair on an international comp for, you know, from my memory, you know, a very long time now. You know, and you can tell that your approach was different. You weren't set on the whole routine of, you know, spin in, backflip out or ARS or like, you know, this. And I'm not saying that can't be impressive bodyboarding. That definitely can be very impressive bodyboarding. You watch Solovera's out there or Pierre or, you know, Tristan, for example, even Dave Hubb, they're making it look incredibly easy in very testing conditions at times, it seems, and making, you know, backflips and ARSs and all that look crisp and epic and they're getting heaps of pop. But when we saw you do those inverts, especially in the final, it was just a breath of fresh air, mate. And I was rubbing my hands together going, this is a point of difference the judges are going to love. And it really put your competitor on the back foot there in the final because it was obvious that you got the two biggest waves and you punched the two biggest moves of that final. And you know, you kind of had it sewn up with 10 minutes to go. I know there's a bit of a late flurry there in the end and your competitor did have a couple of chances, but man, those two big moves, those two big innies were so epic to watch, man. How did it feel producing the goods in the final?
It felt like, yeah, it felt so good. And I wanted to, you know, do something different. I don't, like, want to surf like everyone else is doing backflips. Like, it's sick doing flips and everything. But, you know, I kind of want to mix it up a bit and do something different. So just to, like, get those waves where I had the opportunity to do it, I definitely was going to, like, take it. And I wasn't sure if it would pay off or not, but it definitely did in the end. So yeah, I was pretty stoked.
Proper, man. And was that the strategy from the get-go to try and bust some big innies out, or was it just kind of play it as you see it and let the final unfold?
I was just like kind of, because my strategy from the start of the comp kind of was working, so I was like, why change my strategy if it's working the whole time? Because I was kind of like, you know, some of the guys are getting scored real good for flips and all that. But I was like, you know, my strategy is working pretty good, so I might as well just keep it. So it's just like, you know, get this two good scores down, just like spin to roll combo, and then kind of, you know, make my way up from there. And then when I seen those waves, like, I knew straight away, like, yeah, perfect for an innie, because it's like exactly like the Sunny Coast. Like, that's literally what I surf in every single day, so it couldn't have been any more perfect.
Yeah, epic, man. And so that wave of the Sunny Coast, like, where is your local and where have you honed your craft?
Locals, like, where I live is Pridgin, but more like the best boogan wave, I'd say, on the Sunny Coast is Yoroomba, and that wave is like so similar to the Maldives wave on Mali. It's like exactly the same without all the bumpy backwash and stuff, but yeah, it's pretty similar, so it kind of worked out.
Skits, man. And are you better on rights or lefts usually?
I prefer rights. I can go both ways pretty good, but I feel stronger on my right, so prefer the rights.
Yeah, skits. And were you just licking your lips in that final knowing that the rights in that certain swell direction and winds were offering the best scoring opportunity and kind of giving you the bigger open faces and bowls to hit compared to the lefts?
Definitely. And, like, the whole comp, it was, like, just lefts. And for it literally changed in like one day. It dropped off like so much, and then it was just a right, and I was like, this couldn't be any more like ideal for me, because, you know, right's a much stronger position, and it was the final day, so I was like, this couldn't be any more perfect.
So epic, man. So epic. And what was it like? You know, I know you didn't have like a huge crew over there, but you had your grandmother over there supporting you?
Yeah, I have my nan there with me.
Dude, how good's that? Having, you know, because a lot of people win these events, you know, abroad by themselves. They've obviously got their competitors and friends around them, but if you've got a family member there in a tropical location, you know, supporting you the whole way through and watching you get all the way to the final, man, and win your first IBC competition. Like, that is an International Bodyboarding Corporation comp. Like, the International Bodyboarding Competition, like, you know, like all over the world, man, that is recognized as a really serious feat. And to have your nan there, you know, just cheering, it must have been surreal.
It's pretty sick. Like, my nan is like real supportive. Like, before the comp, after I had been like sick and everything, my nan does like hypnotherapy. So I did a couple of like those sessions to like get my head in the game, just to, you know, get my head in the game, so I knew I was there for to win. And then, yeah, paid off pretty good.
That's crazy. So I haven't heard too much about hypnotherapy. Obviously, you know, I know the form of hypnosis, but like to have someone practice that within your family, like has that been used before on family members to get them, you know, through tough times or to kind of help with their mental state coming up to big challenging moments in their lives?
Yeah, it does. It's been, you know, she's used it on like a few people, some people in my family and stuff, but I did it in my Australian titles as well. Like I'm pretty, you know, switched on when it comes to comps. I don't really get too nervous or anything, but it's like such a strong thing to use, like, and it definitely like pays off.
Well, some of the greatest sports stars, you know, I'm often listened to, you know, a little bit different to bodyboarding and surfing, but I remember Steve Waugh coming out with a really quality quote, the ex Australian cricket captain. And he used to always say that most sports, and especially cricket at the time, was 10% physical and 90% mental, because you can do all the physical preparation that you like and get yourself tuned up and ready to go, but if you're going to fold like, you know, a fucking slice of cheese on like a, you know, a hot toasty, you know, like cold winter's morning, man, like you ain't going to do that well coming into many competitions or, you know, for that matter, a world tour comp. So to have your mental affairs in order, it's just so reassuring for one, you the athlete, and two, it puts you at such a greater advantage than so many other people in your field, because at a young age, like are you 19 yet or still 18?
I'm 16.
What?
Yeah.
What, man, you won the under-18s also. So you've won the under-16s and under-18s.
Yeah, I won, under-16 and 18.
Wow, sorry, I've misread that. That's amazing, man. That's even made this feat even greater. You've surprised me even fucking more. So, dude, back to the point, under-16s, like, you're 16. At that age already in a competitive state, you're honing your mental ability to, you know, to as you said, get yourself in the game and be ready to compete and in any conditions and any sort of scenarios that are thrown up at you. That is a feather in your cap, bro, and that's going to take you so far. Like, you know, you see people come and go from sport, and you see people get the rub of the green and get lucky in certain situations, i.e. Stephen Bradbury in the Olympics, you know, coming from last when everyone got knocked over because they all had a fall. But and I'm sure his mental state was fine, but you know, for you to like have those things already intact with your physical ability and your mental ability, you must feel on top of the world and feel like you've got a really bright future in competitions.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Like I reckon you can have like all the skill. You can be like so good, but you have to have like the mindset, the right mindset, and like, yeah.
Do you have any like pre-heat rituals or anything that you're doing before a competition or anything like that? Like, or any sort of playlists or, you know, artists or mantras, movie scenes, anything like that you get into watching before a comp?
I don't really do too much before my heat. I just like to sit there and watch what the waves are doing, but listen to music. Pretty chill. Like, I don't really do too much, but yeah, that's basically it.
Hectic. Who are you banging out to in your earphones?
Ooh, that's a bit of everything. You know, I reckon Limp Bizkit before, that's definitely the best thing, I reckon.
Giddy up, man. For a 16-year-old to be into Limp Bizkit, that's well beyond your years. Nice. Fred Durst is a pretty special dude, eh?
Yeah, that's it.
What's your favorite song from Limp Bizkit? You do pretty good rolls, so like, would it be Keep On Rolling?
I reckon it would be Break Stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Hectic. Yeah, it's a bit of a unique sort of genre of music there when you've got like, you know, rock and I guess you could call it a little bit of punk put in there with, you know, a DJ mixing stuff in the background. They're a pretty unique band.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, so weird. I literally, like, listen to anything, like, completely different types of genre of music. Like, I'll listen to, yeah, anything.
Hectic. So if you pulled up your Spotify right now, what would be playing? Or what have you listened to today?
Oh, I've got no idea. That's how many different things are on there.
Hectic. Do you have a certain playlist that you always go back to and you store your files in there or your good music?
Yeah, I got a good playlist where I just like, yeah, keep all the songs that, yeah, I like to listen to in there.
Is it public or private?
It's private.
Bras, we got to get that public and share it out to the masses. If this is going to win you fucking international bodyboarding competitions, get it out there to the rest of the cadets and the crew that are coming through from Australia. We need everything we can to get through that, to puncture back into the IBC and make sure we're getting numbers in those heat draws, because it was, yeah, like, you know, I think I made the joke in the Comp Talk episode we've only recently put out on Luke's Lounge and Riptide podcast, and it was more so about, you know, we got silver in the surfing in the Olympics, but we've brought home gold in the recent IBC comp, and it's such a good feeling to have someone to barrack for over there, because a lot of the times we review those comps, we love the level of surfing, and it's really enjoyable to watch and to get immersed in. But at the same time, if you don't have, you know, that Aussie representation, you can't really get your backbone into it. You know, you don't really flare up for it, because it's just, yeah, it's just other competitors from all around the world. So yeah, to see a Sunny Coast lad, even though you are a Queenslander, I'll let that go. It was so legit to see, man.
Yeah. Cheers. It was like, you know, I've been watching the IBC, like, you know, over the years, and like, you don't see many Australians on there. Like, there's so many good Australian riders, and you just don't see them competing. And it's like, you know, the funds and everything, it's expensive and all that, but I really think there should be more Australian riders on the tour.
Who would you like to see on the tour? You know, put aside sponsorship dollars and logistics and just people having to work their own jobs to keep themselves afloat whilst trying to be a professional bodyboarder. But if you could put all that aside, who would you want to see on the tour, both in the juniors, the men's and the women's?
In the men's, I'd love to see, like, Louis back on there, and probably Liam. Like, he's crazy, and you just don't see him competing.
Yep. I think I think, you know, he's a great competitor, and I know, yeah, as you're right, he'd do so well. And we've also seen Louis, you know, smashing out of the park when they did have the focus and the energy towards those comps. But yeah, I think Liam did the IBC, was it last year or the year before? And yeah, just had a bit of a torrid time on there and probably didn't get the results he wanted. A couple of things didn't go his way and probably looked to focus his goals somewhere else. So, but I'm in the same boat as you, man. Like, I'd love to see him over there. I guess it's just more so making it viable and, like, making it, you know, a done thing. Like, you got over there with a bit of crowd funding from one of the fundraiser comps. Sorry.
Yeah. Put a little GoFundMe, just like, because it's so expensive to just raise some money to get over there. I was actually going to go to Aikike, is that the, I don't know how you say it, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
That's how you say it, you bang on.
Yeah, I was going to go there, but the flights with like $8,000 to get over there, and it's just like mental.
That's insane. See, like, there from an Australian's point of view, man, like, you know, you've obviously, you got your heart set on it, and that's incredible. And, like, hats off to you. We want to see you continually keep doing it. And I'm sure the bodyboarding community and your sponsors are going to support you in any way, shape or form to get over to those comps. But when you hear about $8,000 just for one comp, and you could go all the way over there, surf two heats, say like a repercharge heat, and, you know, or like say three heats, you know, even so, like, and get no kind of, I mean, you do get benefit out of it because obviously, like, you know, any sort of competitive scenario, like, you're going to learn something from it, either like win, lose or draw. But, you know, to get like the recoup the finances to kind of then, you know, put your life on hold back home to chase that at the same time, like, you know, you've obviously got school still. It's a big ask, man. Like, it really is a big ask.
It is, like, it's crazy how much it is to, like, get over there. And, you know, the prize money, it's good, like, you're getting money in bodyboarding and that, but it doesn't really, like, cover the flights and all the accommodation and everything. So that's where, like, sponsors really, you know, would be a good help in making money in bodyboarding, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I guess the sponsors also have to see some sort of benefit from them in the long run to put that money behind a rider to then see it come back to them in some way, you know, not saying to make money off the rider going to those competitions, but to, you know, at least get it kind of paid back in other, you know, board sales or, you know, equipment sales or maybe coverage or, you know, marketing on social media or like abroad. It's just, yeah, it's really hard to find or to see the avenues for everyone to get their piece of the pie when those costs are so high. You know what I mean? So it's
Yeah,
it's something we talk about a lot, you know, me and Sean Cooper, the guy who, my co-host, sorry, not the guy, my old boss and co-host on the Comp Talk Potty, we discuss it regularly about, you know, just making sure that people are financially viable and can do it. So, yeah, it's a conundrum. You can see I'm thinking right now, even speaking to you just about it, because I often, you know, wonder where this is all going to go. But, you know, moving with Front On, man, you know, you've got that coming up. If people don't know this out there, with the junior series, if you win one of the junior comps on the IBC World Tour schedule, you have maxed your points out for that year, and you only need to turn up at Front On, which holds slightly higher points, to then be able to compete for a junior world title. And I know you're looking to, well, you've obviously booked your spot there, Jai, but are you looking to still go to Front On, and is that your goal?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to go. Like, now I've got the opportunity and, like, that I could potentially win a junior world title. I'm not going to, like, let that one slide. I would definitely be going.
Hectic. And that's in, is it October?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, sick, man.
It's got, that's like, cool, a 1 month waiting period, so to be over there for like a month.
Yeah, wow. Okay, I did not know that. So for most of the month of October, you're in the Canary Islands, which is, you know, such an amazing place, such a volcanic rich, you know, rock ledgy island that just kind of gives, you know, has waves in every corner or you know, every part of the coastline. So I mean, I'm sure you're gonna have your hands full over there, just sussing out the landscape and the lineups. But to be over there for a month, man, you know, have you looked at accommodation? Where are you perching up? Like, what's the daily budget look like, especially in Euros over there?
I haven't really looked at accommodation yet, but I've looked at my flights and everything, and it's everything I think, like, add up to be like around like 20 grand. So, like, wow. If I'm going to have like accommodation and everything, but I might try and tee something up with like one of the local boys I met at the comp that live there. See if I can stay with one of them or something.
Yeah, sick, man. That would cut down the cost massively. So just to break that 20 grand down, if you were to go over there for a month, how much are the flights, how much roughly is accommodation, and roughly you're spending money each day?
Flights are 3 grand.
Is that return?
Yeah, that's return.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap. Like, I've got them covered, so that's pretty good. And I've got no idea what the rest is.
Yeah, but that's what you guys have sat down, like your family and team have sat down and kind of broken it down to. Like, say you take 3 or 4 grand out of there, you're left like 15, 16K. You break down that over 30 days in a month. You know, you're kind of looking at like that's around four grand a week. You know, so think about your accommodation and spending money. Say that's like 600 euros a day. I mean, like you, and is that any, was anyone going with you there? Or is that just yourself?
Nah, we go with my dad. So I go with my dad this time. But if I
oh,
like,
man, well that's, sorry, you go.
No,
man, you go. No, trust me, bro. You go. I want to hear what you have to say. No one wants to listen to fucking me talk.
If like I was to like stay with like, you know, some of the local boys or anything, like the cost would be so much cheaper. Like, it definitely wouldn't even really be that much because then I've only got to really pay for like food and stuff.
Oh man, that would be such a godsend. Because if you're going with your dad and then breaking down the flights, if they're 3 grand for you, 3 grand for him, there's 6 grand, and then you break down your daily spend, you could easily spend 150 euros a day, and that's just normal food and accommodation. So yeah, it definitely all adds up with two people going towards 20 grand. And that's 20 grand, man. Like, you know, that's a big investment for, you know, a very prestigious comp and to win a junior world title, which you don't get many bites of the cherry at that, because obviously, you know, there's only a select few years in your life that you can go for a junior world title, and you graduate up to the open men's, and there's a couple more bites of the cherry there, obviously with more, like, you know, years available with your age, but there's a hell of a lot more fierce competition too. So this would be such a good time for you to strike while the iron's hot and yeah, take out Fronton. Have you been to the Canaries before? Have you surfed a wave like Fronton?
I haven't been to the Canaries before. Like, I don't even, like, the only thing close to the Fronton, which probably isn't anything close, is probably just surfing the South Coast.
Yeah, hectic. And what kind of waves, you know, without blowing out too many spots, what kind of waves were you really backing down there that kind of gives you that heavy reef vibe?
I wouldn't say like heavy reef vibe, but I'd say like the funnest wave I've surfed is definitely like Nuggin.
Oh, everyone says it, me, myself included. Like it's a magical wave, man. There's not many reefs shaped like that all around the world. And yeah, a lot of people do compare Fronton and Nuggin. Obviously Fronton being a lot heavier, gnarlier barrel, but they can throw up like similar bowls, where Nuggin is an amazing barrel, but probably obviously not as heavy, but I'd say the bowls are more kind of obvious and presented with a bit more of a nice little, you know, tightly wrapped bow and a present for you there, because those things are ridiculous. It's just staring at you like 90 degrees in the face.
Yeah, it's so sick. You like couldn't get many more perfect bowls than that.
Bloody oath, man. Bloody oath. So, yeah, sweet. So, you've got a bit of training under your belt for it. Do you reckon before the Fronton comp hits, you're going to get into a certain training regime, or you want to go surf some certain waves to prepare yourself? Are there any, like, dietary changes or any sort of training you do on the side leading up to this junior world title tilt?
Yeah, I've spoken to Ryan and, like, Ryan Hardy and – because, like, he's so front on everything before, so I was, you know, asked him where, like, the best place to get training and to go before I go to front on. And he said the wave that is, like, the most similar is, like, the box.
Wow.
Yeah, he reckons South Coast is, like, nothing like it.
Okay. Wow. Okay, cool. And so what was his takes on the box in WA being, you know, a good training ground and a similar sort of wave to front on?
I I don't actually like no. I would have thought the South Coast would have been real similar to Fronton, but I guess because it's like super heavy and shallow, I guess that's why you'd say that. But
And I guess too, you'd probably have those more long period uninterrupted southwest ground swells, which, the Canaries obviously being out into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean there off the Spanish and Portuguese coastline, would be copping a lot of uninterrupted, long period swells, much like WA. So I could definitely see where he's coming from there. I don't know if I, again, we're talking about the goat hardballs here, so I'm not going to question any of his advice because you'd be most certainly listening to hardballs over anyone else. But yeah, just thinking about the shape of the wave, the box, and how you kind of come in behind it and his backdoor, I guess, to a bowl, barrel to bowl. It doesn't remind me so much of front on, but I've only surfed the box. I haven't surfed front on, so I'm he's done both, and I'd be taking his advice to the grave, man. So that's sick. You've got him in his him, sorry, in your corner. I know you've done a fair few of the Bali camps. Like, how is it over there, and what is it like being taught by Ryan Hardy and pumping waves?
It is so good. Like, it couldn't be better going to Bali. I reckon the best waves I've ever surfed is definitely in Bali, and especially the surfing with Ryan. So good. Like, he's the goat. He couldn't really like ask for much more.
Definitely not, man. Yeah, and it seems like he's having so much fun over there, and he's been doing it for so many years now. He's really, struck up a good name for himself within the industry and the world. Obviously, because his reputation as being one of the greatest bodybuilders to ever live. But setting up a camp in such fun boog waves, and I'm sure he's got that place on lock. What was your favorite session over there, and what was your favorite wave?
Favorite session. I went over there like last year, November, and as soon as I got there, like the first week, it was like a good swell and it was pumping like Echo. I'd definitely say Echo is my favorite, and that day was so good.
Just like epic right bowls coming back at you.
Just left and right bowls, like you go like left, you get a bit more like of a barrel, but right, you just get like a big wall just coming straight towards you, and you just don't know what to do. There's like so many options.
Sick. Did you throw a few deck chairs over there? A couple of big innies?
Big innies, yeah. I probably shouldn't have. I literally did an innie on like every single bowl. Should have probably switched it up a bit, but yeah.
Dude, when you love a move, you love a move. Would that be your favorite move?
Yeah, I'd say it's my favorite move, for sure.
Yeah, skits, man. That's so cool. And so, is that something that you, that move, did you use that quite regularly in your under 16s and under 18 Australian title tilts? Like, were those, was the invert like the move you would go to pull out a score if you needed it?
Yeah, I actually did in the final. I did an innie. It's just pretty like good go-to move. Like you can, if the swell's big enough, like you can't really do it off like a 1 foot wave or anything. But if you have the opportunity, it's like definitely the best go-to move to do.
Yeah, sick. And was that at Port Mac, your most recent under 18s title?
Yeah, it was at Port Mac. I can't remember if it was at Lighthouse or not, but one of them was at Lighthouse.
Yeah, I think it was at Lighthouse. Only speaking to Josh DeBone, I think, after those titles concluded, and he said you guys had pretty fun waves.
Yeah, it was either Lighthouse or North Haven, one of those for either both years, but the waves were really good. But I looked at the waves this year because my brother went to Aussies and they were huge, like real. They didn't really look that good, but it was like prop. They had a big swell coming through there.
Was that at Port Mac again?
Yeah, it was at I think North Haven. It was in Port Mac at North Haven, I'm pretty sure.
North Haven or North Wall?
North Wall, sorry,
Yeah,
got my things
no, I
wrong.
get you. No, I get them mixed up too, because I know there's a North Haven just only down the coast a little bit. So Yeah, and man, like, stoked they got good waves, but also, like, stoked they didn't get chomped by a 5 meter or 6 meter megalodon shark. How was that terrible story about Kai, man? Far out. That was, sends shivers down my spine seeing old mate get attacked out there.
Yeah, that was mental. Like, that's your worst nightmare.
Oh, man. Like, I don't know if you got to see the footage or not, and I kind of hope you didn't. I wish I didn't get to see it because it struck the fear of God into me and also just reiterated to me that at any time, at any stage, whilst you're in the ocean sampling the goods and the energy that's coming through from Mother Nature, you could be struck down by a wild beast just cruising along the shoreline. Like, again, the chances are really slim. You obviously think about how many people enter into our coastlines and into the water each day and week and year and how many shark attacks there are. But at the same time, man, like, it is frightening to hear about that and see that. And it's only, you know, it seems like Port Mac at this current stage is a bit of the hotspot, man. You've had two attacks there in the last year, and it only seems like yesterday the Ballina and Lennox Head was kind of the hotspot. And yeah, again, like, my point being, you just kind of just don't know, and you just got to be so grateful that you're getting unscathed time in the water, really.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, knowing, paddling into water, knowing that there's, like, sharks lurking that big. Oh. But it's their home, I guess, you know. You choose to surf with them, so just got to put up with it, I guess.
For sure, man. Yeah, for sure. And it kind of just reiterates again how much of an extreme sport bodyboarding is, especially when you're going to surf some of these crazy slabs or, like, remote waves. I know North Wall not being so much of a slab, but, you know, a perfect break wall like Beachy that offers up so many wedges. And I know so many people surf it on a regular basis. It's a go-to there in Port Mac. So, you know, to think that a spot so regularly visited had such an horrific shark attack, it's hectic. But, like, up your way, man, are there any special reefs or slabs or zones that, you know, you really enjoy surfing, but at the same time know they're filled with sharks?
Oh, not really. There's one that you have to paddle out to, Old Woman. You have to paddle. It's like a 20-minute paddle, half an hour paddle.
And is that Old Woman, like, Island?
Yeah, Old Woman Island. It's a sick, like, right-hand slab. It's pretty good.
Pretty gnarly by the looks of it, man. Like, how shallow it can get out there.
Oh, it gets so shallow, and the reef is, like, real sharp, but it's sick. The paddle out there is so sketchy.
What are you thinking or saying to yourself whilst you're committing to the paddle?
Oh, just don't look down. I'm just wanting to get to the island as quick as possible. Just, like, get out of the water. Like, it's so sketchy. The water is so, like, dark, and it's a real big drop off through that kind of channel.
Do you feel like, do you ever, you know, I sometimes do this to myself, and actually I do it often. Do you ever feel like you start talking to yourself, and it just makes everything a little bit better, and you can kind of get through the paddle easier?
Yeah, well, I usually don't do it by myself, so I just paddle with a couple of mates and my brother. So it's like, you know, I've got people paddling there, and I don't think I'd ever paddle it by myself. Like, you basically shark bait.
Man, can you like, we need to doff the cap to a lot of the core lords out there and core queens that go surf solo at some of these remote locations on a regular basis. Like, I know a couple of crew down south, and especially around the Great Australian Bight, who enjoy surfing solo and, you know, taking, like, handing their lives over to the ocean, so to speak, with no one around to have eyes on them at all time. And, you know, in some ways that's beautiful and epic, and to have a solo surf is, you know, the dream for a lot of people. And I'm into it at certain places for sure. But in other ways, man, like, when you're out at these slabs or these, you know, deep reef passes or drop-offs or whatever, and you're doing it by yourself, it's just, like, hats off to them having the balls or the ovaries to just continue on you know, with their mental clarity and state and enjoy the surf. Because for me, like, it just kind of ruins me. I become frazzled and I just go in. Doesn't matter how pumping the waves are.
I don't get how, like, people do it surfing by yourself, like, especially in, you know, real remote breaks and stuff. I get scared, not scared, but, like, I just, you get the feeling, like, even, like, surfing out the front by yourself, like, at a beach, you just, you know, you got the feeling of sharks. I don't get how people do it, like, at slabs and,
yeah,
like, I just wouldn't do it, eh?
No, I'm with you, man. I freak myself out too much. But another thing that freaked me out whilst looking through your Instagram page the other day was the lift kit you've got on your Forby, brother. Like, is this a passion? Is this a side passion that you've got going on with, like, four drives? Because that thing looks like a beast.
Yeah. Definitely my second passion besides bodyboarding is my car and, like, spending any money I can on it because, yeah, it's definitely my hobby.
Hectic. So you enjoy off-road full driving and kind of the searching out those gnarly or well-known paths and taking your trusty steed up them?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Love going full driving. I haven't got my P's yet. I get them in, like, a week and a bit now, but usually I just go with my dad and, yeah, full driving, definitely, like, oh, it's so good. Got, like,
I was gonna say, you're 16, so what am I talking about? You haven't even got your license. Like, that's, yeah, you're already kitted out without a license, man. Wait till you get your P's, you'll be hooning all over the place.
Oh yeah, I'll be hooning around. You can go to surf trips, go down the South Coast.
Yeah, and with your setup too, you could easily get, like, a pop-up tent, or you could just have a swag in the back, or even sleep with the seats down the back. Like, you're sorted. That vehicle will take you all around Australia if you wanted to.
Yeah, definitely. I could go, like, you know, I don't even know. Just go anywhere.
What type of vehicle is it? Is it Toyota or Nissan?
Yeah, it's a Toyota 80 series Land Cruiser.
Oh, mate. Nate, you'd be making a lot of Toyota fans out there proud there, man. Like, it's, you know, that's a badge of honor around Australia. A lot of people give you the old finger salute on the road if you're driving a Land Cruiser, and that's the great Australian vehicle right there.
Yeah. You definitely get a lot of, like, looks in it when you drive past, like, people, you know, turn their heads. Pretty funny.
But, so what kind of lift kit do you have on it, man? Like, you know, like, how high you're running and what kind of modifications have you made to the car?
It's got 5-inch lift all around. It's on 35-inch treps, like, neg 44 beadlock rims. Got, like, rear drawers in the back, Steno snorkel. I chopped the bull bar down to, like, because it was, like, just a stock bull bar and I didn't really want to buy one, so I just chopped it down, made it look a bit better. It's kind of like a bumper bull bar kind of thing. But, yeah, exhaust on it. Oh, I think that's everything. Few other
big
things,
snorkel,
but
on it, eh?
Yeah, big Steno.
Frothing, bruh. I'm frothing looking at it right now on your gram. I've got it up. I'm just like, damn, that thing is legit. So you said you cut the front bull bar down. Did you have to grind that down?
Yeah, to grind it down, just grind all the, like, hoops off, and then my dad, like, you know, did a little design on it and trimmed it down a bit and made it look all nice.
Hectic, man. So is your dad heaps into Forbies and cars too?
Yeah, he's got an 80 as well. He's got a white one.
Oh, mate. So you guys, once you get your license, you guys are going to be hitting the mud and the dirt and just going, you know, just pretty much creating havoc out there, right? Spell the sounds of it.
Yeah. My dad, like, I reckon he prefers my car over his. Like, sometimes steals it and drives it around.
Bullshit.
Yeah. He's well, I let him drive it. I let him drive it, but yeah.
Well, you kind of got no choice at the moment without a license. You kind of need him there giving you the all clear at the moment, eh?
Yeah.
Dude, that's sick. I'm stoked to sound hear you got another hobby on the side and it's all going well. So dude, I think we've covered so much. You know, I was stoked to get you on the potty because, you know, we've got so many requests from Groms out there wanting to hear what you've got to say and how you're running your life, because you're a huge inspiration for a lot of Groms out there now, man. Seeing you win, you know, a junior world tour comp and you're already Australian titles you've got in the bag. So you got to keep booging. You know, obviously do whatever you want in life, but we'd all love to see you keep booging and keep progressing. And can't wait to see what you do in front on, brother.
Yeah, cheers. I'll definitely keep booging. I don't think I'll be stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, but sick. Good to hear.
Yeah.
And have you got anyone you want to thank, man? Any sponsors, anyone out there to help that's helped you get to where you are right now?
Yeah, definitely. NMD, Inverted, Suns Upper. Thank my mum and dad, my nan, all the family. That's pretty much it.
What about Tully, young Tully, mate? Is he
Give Tully a shout out. Tully definitely is pushing me a bit. I'd love to see Tully on the tour, like doing some of the comps and stuff. It'd be so sick.
Yeah, epic. Well, maybe, you know, in the future you guys can become travel buddies and make it happen together overseas.
I hope so. That'd be like the dream. Be good.
Skits, bro. Well, man, thanks again for coming on Luke's Lounge. Thanks for taking your time out of your day and, you know, giving an insight into what makes Jai Taylor tick, man. And, yeah, super pumped, and I can't wait to watch you at front on. I will be staying up, you know, setting the alarms and you know, getting a couple of beers and making sure that I'm watching your heats, bro, because I can't wait to see you send it, and I hope you get a couple of big innie bowls on the right.
Hopefully I do. That would be perfect.
Cheers, bro. You have a good night, and I'll speak to you soon, Jai.
Yeah, cheers, Luke. See ya.
See ya, bro.
Yeah.
It was all a pipe dream, watching bodyboarding up on TV.